This episode of the Vergecast is brought to you by High Five. How many times have you had a meeting where you waste the first 15 minutes? It's usually because someone has had trouble joining a call, or you can't share your screen, or someone else can be heard, or they don't have the right PIN code, or you work at The Verge, because that's our lives.
Yep.
Nothing but problems. Well, the people at High Five want to give you back the first 15 minutes of every meeting. That's why they built easy-to-use video and web conferencing that you can actually love. High Five is seamlessly integrated hardware and cloud software solution that lets people work however they want. You can enjoy productive meetings in HD video with multiple people. You can start an HD video meeting from your computer or mobile device. There's no remote to lose or struggle to understand how to use. And with a simple click on your computer or swipe on your phone, you can move video calls from your personal device to the conference room TV. High Five is only 1/20th the cost of traditional video providers. You can outfit a conference room for only $799. That's a one-time fee. There's no maintenance fees or monthly overhead. It's just yours to enjoy. So what team doesn't want to enjoy High Five at work? Take back the first 15 minutes of every meeting and get started today. Go to highfive.com/verge and request a free trial of High Five. That's High Five, HIGHFIVE.com. Go to highfive.com/theverge. Request your free trial. Start your meetings with High Five.
That is the sound of literally everybody unsubscribing in their podcast app. Oh, God.
That's just fun fact about The Verge. Today we discovered that you can blow out a kazoo. It's our birthday. It's the birthday.
Introduce the show.
Hello and welcome to The Vergecast. This is the 150th episode of The Vergecast. The Vergecast birthday spectacular, which I would point out implies that we give birth to the show every week, as Sam has pointed out. But this is indeed our 150th episode. There's huge news going on in the world. Chris is wearing not one, but two birthday hats.
Trying to. I'm working on it.
I would describe that as a bust situation. But I'm here. I'm your host, Eli Patel. Next to me is...
I am Dieter Bohn.
I'm Chris Sigler.
And I am Sam Scheffer.
In
and
the hype desk.
And my ring is glowing.
Show us the sign behind you, though. Pretty sweet.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say I'm your host. It was like a moment. We're all your hosts.
The sign behind Sam, by the way, for the podcast listeners, because this is an audio show, says 150 Verge casts.
Yeah.
Big ups to Sarah putting that together.
Made a sign for us. It's beautiful.
I don't actually know how that's possible that it was made that quickly.
Because you get letters. You could take letters and then you punch them together.
I preferred it when I didn't know how it was done.
Look, here's what I know. You ruined your childhood.
Here's what I know about The Verge. And the staff of The Verge, it's that everything in our lives that we think about and communicate with and like use to work together is like a high precision, like machine requires teams of workers and factories and design. Yeah. And the idea that something that looks like a consumer product, but is really just like sparkle letters that have been taped together, it's like blows our mind. You're like, yeah, a human made that.
Yeah.
Custom. A one-off.
I didn't know that still happened.
Limited edition. One of one.
Bespoke.
Our bespoke sparkle sign. So anyway, this is the Vergecast.
Yes.
Where we talk about The Verge and a bunch of stuff. And Sam hype checks us.
Yeah.
It's our birthday.
We're slap happy.
I'm happy because it's our birthday.
Yeah.
I'm happy because I'm back. Last week I was on vacation. How'd it go last week?
It was
great. It was the best.
I sat in that desk.
It was the best Vergecast
ever. Felt
like
a grown-up.
Did we have a hype desk last week? I didn't listen to the show because I was on vacation.
Yeah.
Who was in the hype desk?
Sam migrated.
Yeah, I migrated.
It was an empty hype desk. We could not hype check. We were incapable of hype checking.
And then checking. You had to go back.
Yeah, and then I went back and all order was restored.
Are we older than America? 150? That's a big number.
No.
Chris.
America is...
Chris, we're in the year 2015, America.
America celebrated its bicentennial in like 1976.
It was close.
76, yeah.
Close.
You said 74?
1774, I thought it was.
What happened in 1774?
America was negative two.
Every day of 1774, someone's like, God, I can't wait for fucking America to show up.
This is not an American history podcast.
1775 was like the ultimate hype year.
Hype levels were very dangerous in 1775.
George Washington kept on appearing in like British fashion magazines.
I gotta get my headband on.
America's coming just for a full year. They made a bunch of videos with British people. America's inevitable.
My head is too big for this.
And then 1776.
America's here. We've made it.
What?
I don't know.
What's your British accent right now? I'd just like to point out that a Johnny Ive video about America's design would be incredible. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Like, if he was like, we've made it of the finest materials. These mountains are the finest mountains in the world. All right, I'll stop.
Wow.
What? That's how he talks.
I'm just waiting for my chance to segue, but I don't think you want me to.
What are we going to segue to?
We're going to segue to America and how the FCC is apparently deciding it's time to do its job again.
That's
the second time a year.
Yeah,
legit breaking news before the Vergecast started. Guys, I'm just gonna defer to you. I mean, obviously, I have many thoughts.
Why don't we say what the news is?
So the news is,
I'm just like a taskmaster today,
dude. Running it.
It's her birthday.
I do not like fun. This has been well established.
No, it's big news, enormous news. Over the past week or so, there have been rumblings that the FCC.
And
the Department of Justice, but particularly the FCC, will make Comcast take its merger proposal to buy Time Warner Cable in front of a judge and like actually hold a hearing, which is basically them using procedure to shut it down. Take a long time, be very expensive, very complicated.
They're like, we're going to make this not fun for you.
Yeah. And then today, basically Comcast has been leaking. We're done with this. We're done trying to buy Time Warner Cable, which is over a year since they announced the deal.
Yeah. So the rumor is that it's going to be official tomorrow. Comcast will announce it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just talk about echoes of AT&T T-Mobile.
Celebrate. Dancing in the streets.
Look, I mean, the FCC is developing a pretty solid reputation for not liking mergers between communications giants, which I am okay with. There is still AT&T DirecTV on the docket.
That's going to happen. That makes sense to me. I don't know why that one makes sense to me, but it makes sense to me.
Can we go back in time and do the AOL Time Warner thing over again?
Well, they just kind of mutually destroyed each other.
Yeah, so that's fair. But maybe we wanted this merger to go through if that would have been the result.
Yeah.
But so what's crazy is to me is how over the past week these rumblings that like it was coming, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to go, okay, I'm sure they'll deal with it. I sort of didn't have the sense that them having to go to these meetings meant that, like, oh, this is, like, really, truly on the rocks.
Yeah, they bailed a lot faster than AT&T did. AT&T kind of stuck it out for a while, and finally they're like, all right, this is stupid, never mind. But Comcast, they're just, like, it was a game of chicken. They just immediately
quit. They blinked, right away.
Well, I mean, I think they've been blinking this whole time, right? Like,
yeah,
the way I've seen it, this is a second huge setback for Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's net neutrality. So that Comcast had two major things to accomplish this year, right? In terms of like their policy goals and their business goals, they wanted to avoid Title II reclassification,
right?
With all of their heart and soul. They still do.
Yeah, they still might, depending on how
through their lobbying arm, they filed that lawsuit. They decisively lost that battle with the FCC. And they wanted to buy Time Warner Cable, I should say, to be more precise. And those things were just always mixed up.
Right.
Right. And the one thing that they would always say about buying Time Warner was, hey, we've already agreed to all these net neutrality provisions.
Until 2018.
Yeah, but we already agreed to them because when we bought NBC, we agreed to play by these rules until 2018.
Yeah.
And if you let us buy Time Warner will fall under the rules too. And then with one big net neutrality cable provider.
For
a couple of years.
So,
but that argument was that was their play. That was their argument on both sides of the fence. Yeah. It was you don't have to do net neutrality regulation because we're already playing by the rules and we want to buy Time Warner, and then almost everybody will fall under the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And with Time Warner, it was we won't be a huge terrible monopoly because we're going to play by these rules,
right?
And all of that, it just in the course of 2 months has just completely fallen apart.
Yeah, yeah.
So, do you think that if they hadn't bought NBC, that this would have gone through?
You know, did you read any of the Brian Williams stuff? This is like, it's sort of Brian Williams,
you got to make this connection for me. I will make this connection.
I think buying NBC for Comcast is one of those moves where it made so much sense on paper and in the end has just been a series of disasters.
Right.
So the reason I bring up Brian Williams is there was a great article in Vanity Fair about sort of the fall of Brian Williams. There's another really long feature elsewhere that I read. I can't remember what it was. But there are two that sort of tracked like what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them, the Vanity Fair one in particular, opens with, this is all Comcast's fault.
Wow.
And NBC was fine. Before Comcast showed up, they had like the number one evening show, the number one daytime show, the number one news broadcast. And now we're here. And they had like let their anchor go on leave. Today is plummeting in the ratings. And it's all just Comcast not knowing how to run a media company.
Right.
And I think that has been such a big, painful distraction And then they tried to buy. And so, like, you look at where Comcast is now, and it's just, by the way, full disclosure, Comcast Ventures owns a piece of Vox Media, which is the company that pays us all.
That's true.
But I think if you've been reading The Verge, you know that has very little effect on our coverage of Comcast. But there's a disclosure. But if you just look at what, like, Comcast, their job is to provide better, faster internet service and better, faster, or cooler television service to people.
Right.
And none of those things have been, like, radically increasing because they've been trying to figure out NBC and they try to buy Time Warner.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, distractions abound for this company.
And, we joke
and none
about,
of those things have paid off.
Right. We joke about X1 all the time. Like, Comcast has been advertising X1 for, what, 3 years now? It basically doesn't exist. It's in a few markets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I waited at least 18 months for it in Chicago, finally moved, and it still wasn't there.
Did I ever tell you a story? I was talking to a TV executive. So this is a thing. And if you're listening to this, like, TV executives are often very boastful, but a lot of smart TVs do automatic content recognition. It's called ACR. So yeah. They listen. So if you think this is one of the things where they developed the world's coolest hack. So if you are a smart TV vendor, you have no idea what's coming through HDMI 1.
Right.
Like you don't know what's on the TV. You don't know what's on your screen.
Right.
And that's like terrible. And if you want to build stuff around it, you want to like put interactive scores next to watching the game or whatever, you have to figure out what the hell's on the screen. So they built ACR technology. It's like all over the place. Every time you go to a TV conference or you like talk to somebody about the future of TV, ACR comes up because it's the solution.
And is this basically the same thing that like Yahoo did for a while ago and a bunch of other apps do, like where it just like listens to the show?
Yeah, it's basically like super fancy Shazam,
yeah.
Right? But it's like built in all this firmware. It's built in all these apps on your phone, whatever.
Right.
It like listens to the TV. And if you're actually on the panel, you can look at what's on the TV
right.
And figure it out. So all these smart TV vendors have ACR. That's just a thing that they do. They're trying to figure out how to use it. There's licensing problems, but they all have it. And one of the things that they look at is what cable box people use, right? So
From
the UI. They see the cable box UI.
Oh, yeah,
and they
right.
They know, which is crazy. And no one will give it to me. I beg for it all the time. But so they know what cable box people are using. And they're like, X1 is laughable. Like it's Comcast is this huge market and like they've put out in absolute numbers like a pretty okay number of them, but compared to their total percentage it's like nothing.
right
and it's just one of those things where it's like would you have been better off doing this other stuff like focusing on rolling out your platform, focusing on you know making a deal with Apple who's desperate to make a television,
or just you know don't buy NBC and then buy Time Warner Cable instead.
I don't think they would have ever gotten to buy Time Warner.
You don't think so?
No. And I'm
just saying, like the freak out that not the well, it's freak out like the just people being dubious about it was, I think, in part like the bad aftertaste of them buying NBC.
Yeah,
and sort of like not a lot of people want. Nobody wanted them to do it.
So
just sort of accepted that it was happening, and they like got it through because not enough people were paying attention.
Well, I still think that if you compare those two mergers on balance, the NBC one was far worse and more devastating. And I still think to this day that the federal government got played in that arrangement.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do think that they're very different kinds of deals. And I'm not sure that that ever would have gone through. But by the same token, I am surprised to see how hard the FCC has ultimately pushed against it. I didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming.
The FCC has showed up.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A lot. Like they won net neutrality and they're like, oh, we can do stuff.
Yeah.
I got to say this hat situation is just extraordinarily. Chris is wearing not one but two birthday hats.
Don't forget the glow stick.
And a glow stick. The glow stick is, I'm wearing a glow stick too, let's be honest.
It's true.
But the one birthday hat doesn't have elastic. It just has strings. And the strings also have just been daintily framing your face.
The fact that the second birthday hat with one of the strings and the little puffy thing on it is also covered in glitter and you are both idiots for even touching it, like getting anywhere near it.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a glitter phobia?
Just, I'd hate glitter being
everywhere.
I prefer
to be gently dusted in glitter from time to time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, I'm a sparkly man.
Some people pay money to be dusted in glitter. I don't know what that means.
True. Okay. Fact. The Comcast thing, we could talk about it forever and for zero, right? I mean, it's just amazing that for us at The Verge and for our readers, we did so much in net neutrality and Comcast was the enemy of the net neutrality battle.
Yeah.
And I think everybody hates Comcast. Yeah. Like that in Comcast, not as a company, but some people hate it as a company, but as a provider of a service that isn't very good.
You asked Brian Roberts point blank. What is it like to wake up in the morning knowing that you're the most hated company in America or something like that?
Yeah, he was like, I don't want it. I don't want to do that. This is almost a year ago now. It was last May at the Code Conference.
Yeah.
And he just didn't have
a good answer.
His PR people still bring it up with me in conversation. It's like a year later.
What does this mean? This is a win for consumers, obviously, right? What does it mean for normals that don't read The Verge?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that was kind of Comcast's argument. Was like, well, you already hate Time Warner. Why wouldn't you just want to hate us too?
Yeah.
Right?
And there's not a lot of market overlap, which is one of their arguments.
Right.
That means that Time Warner is going to pull a T-Mobile and hire a crazy-ass CEO
Charter is going to buy them. They're going to merge with a smaller.
Yeah.
What you're going to see is, look, Time Warner is like not a good business right now, right? Like it's a... There's a reason they're trying to sell themselves off. So Time Warner Cable will probably merge with another cable company of its size. A lot of people have thrown out like Charter, which is owned by, I think, Liberty Community. Like, there's just all this stuff out there. There's these other mid-tier operators. And then you'll see another regional player the size of a Comcast emerge. And that will be fascinating. Right? And so instead of one basically nationwide monopoly, you'll have two sort of regional gigantic monopolies. And that push and pull... Over, like, so here's one of the problems you have. If Comcast owns everything, if they own the cable market in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, like that's where they were going to go to.
Yeah.
Right. It was like 34 of the nation's 35 largest markets or something crazy like that. If you're then a company that isn't NBC, if you're ABC or whatever, and you want to put, and you get into a broadcast dispute with Comcast, you're out. You've lost. You have no leverage.
Right. Because they have distribution control.
Right. Over the entire country.
Okay. And so, they make the content too.
And they have NBC, and right. They are technically barred from, like, favoring NBC, but, like, come on. You sure?
I mean, the NBC logo is now their logo, so.
Yeah. This happens, right? CBS fights with DirecTV, and CBS goes off the air for a minute, right? This happens consistently. Broadcasters and cable networks are always fighting. So if they own the whole country, like, now they have all the leverage.
Yeah.
And so particularly in this moment as cable subscriptions are dropping, right. Where there had been a question about net neutrality, having two big players in the country is better than having one monopoly.
Yeah, and I think that we can connect this to this great piece that Ben just wrote about how like the breaking of the cable bundle and all these TV services, like especially HBO moving to internet only, is happening way faster than we all expected it to.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like
2 years
Comcast
ago, we wrote the whole thing about it's never going to happen.
Didn't think
about
war for TV, right?
Yeah. And I think that if Comcast had managed to make this thing happen and they'd managed to buy Time Warner, they probably would have been able to slow that down.
Right.
Right. But like, not only is unbundling happening faster, but the FCC actually like found its legs or arm. I don't know. What's the metaphor? Found its
limbs.
Swords, guns, handguns. The FCC found a handgun.
Yeah.
Why not? The FCC was in its grandfather's basement. Yeah. It was like,
Tom Wheeler with an AR-15
yeah.
with war paint on.
Right.
Someone's going to
Photoshop
that.
The FCC watched Full Metal Jacket.
but so the question is like, are we like, is this the end of like consumer friendly broad changes to like infrastructure policy?
Yeah.
Or is this the end, or is like more crazy change coming?
I think I'm telling you every week on the Vergecast, I say this: Apple is going to just flip all of the desks everywhere.
No, I mean like the
Apple doesn't want to be in the cable.
I mean, you realize that these rumors have been going. When I started at Engadget in 2006, there were rumors that Apple was going to start a wireless service. What?
I don't know what that was either. I don't
know. But no, but they looked at it.
But Apple,
simultaneously. Dude, Apple looked into it.
Hype check. Caught that iVerge siren.
Man. Can we all pause for a moment and apologize to our podcast producers who are going to have to deal with the levels on this audio?
Their ears are bleeding right now.
Yeah. Just, can I say this? Speaking of, well, we're going to talk about the watch later, but... The Apple Watch died, so not wearing a dead Moto 360.
Oh, no.
Just wearing a different dead watch.
Why?
I don't know. Just put it on. It's pretty cool.
It looks a little bit like your normal, was it a Nixon or something?
I think that's why I grabbed it by accident.
Yeah.
Oh, you grabbed it by accident.
It's different.
Didn't you once say that your Nixon watch doesn't have a battery in it anyway?
That's what I like.
That's your move.
I like dark squares on my wrist, or dark shapes.
Yeah.
I do want to say one other thing about the FCC.
Don't we all?
So, Minion Clyburn, interim chairperson.
Right, and still the best name ever to grace the SEC.
True. She was staying in an Upper West Side hotel last night.
How do you know this?
Yeah, where? I'm going somewhere with this.
Yeah.
Let
him go.
Okay.
And there were police reports last night that that a coyote was seen running around Manhattan.
Yeah.
And the police couldn't catch this coyote.
Yeah.
Well, so Minion Clyburn tweeted this morning, I've like never seen a coyote in North Carolina, wherever she's from, but I come to the Upper West Side of Manhattan and there's a coyote right outside my window.
Whoa.
So she saw the coyote of Manhattan.
It's pronounced coyote.
No, it's coyote.
It's what? Quiet.
I think it depends on what part of the country you're from.
I think it depends on what you're from, Texas. How much Friday Night Lights you've been watching.
So then how would they pronounce zygote?
Zygote,
Sam,
really?
Sam, hype check whatever you just did.
I thought it was pretty clever. Anyway,
no,
continue.
No.
Continue. Zygote.
Okay, let's move on.
What is wrong with you?
There's nowhere to go from there.
No, your kazoo privileges have been taken away.
I have all of the kazoos.
No, 10-minute kazoo break.
So how come you got the best hat? Like, you got a crown.
Because I'm his swag.
Oh, he got the party pirate.
Yeah, it's
one. And he has the Mardi Gras beads, too.
I will say this. When Sarah was going to buy us all the party stuff, she asked me if I wanted party hats or pirate hats, and I said, whatever a party pirate would wear, and that's what she gave Sam.
That's perfect.
That's party pirate.
Yeah.
Admiral Ravetown.
Admiral Ravetown.
Wow, he looks good. All right.
Admiral Ravetown.
Right. Play the. We got to make some money. Ready? This episode of the Vergecast is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/vergecast. That's lynda.com/vergecast. Lynda.com is for problem solvers, for the curious, for people who want to make things happen, like this man over here, Dieter Bone. Maybe you want to master Excel, Dieter.
I do.
Maybe you want to learn some negotiation tactics.
I need them.
Maybe you want to build a website.
I would like to do that.
Yeah. Do you want to boost your Photoshop skills?
They're pretty poor right now.
Can do it at Lynda.com. You can do it there. Some courses that are worth checking out. Sam, I've got some suggestions for you.
Take off the hat.
Excel 2001 for the Mac, managing and analyzing data. That's for you. Figure out some Snapchat graphs. I want you to do it. Building a note-taking app for iOS 8, Christopher.
I'm on it.
Learn how to build a complete iOS 8 app from scratch using the iOS 8 SDK and Xcode.
I'll take that.
And I, just so you know, will be programming the Internet of Things with iOS. I'll explore the Internet of Things. I will discover how to program quote-unquote things, such as wearable tech, appliance sensors, and programmable hardware. Then I will control all of you.
You do you.
With a Lynda.com membership, you can watch and learn from thousands of top experts who are passionate about teaching. You can stream thousands of video courses on demand. You can learn them on your own schedule. Courses are structured so you can watch them start to finish or consume them in bite-sized pieces. You can use course transcripts to follow along, search for an answer, or just skip around in the video. Go crazy. You want to learn iOS 8 out of order? You can do it with Lynda.com.
I do.
Take notes as you go, refer to them as later, download tutorials to watch on the go. You can access everything on your iOS or Android device where you are making a note-taking app. Just think about it.
Yeah.
It's all happening all at the same time. You can create and share playlists of courses you want to watch to customize your learning path. I will say this. Nothing bothers me more than a non-customized learning path. Your Lynda.com membership will get you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics for one flat rate. Whether you're looking to become an industry expert, you're passionate about a hobby, or you just want to learn something new, like Excel 2011. I want you to visit lynda.com/thevergecast and sign up for a free 10-day trial. That's lynda.com/vergecast.
Can I share a quick anecdote?
Yeah.
Is it about coyotes?
Anecdote horn.
So I was sitting in my lovely home.
I'm listening to you, Chris. Is this about the Apple Watch?
No, it's not. Okay. I was sitting in my lovely home last evening, just minding my own business.
Oh, I know.
And then Minion Clyburn showed up at the door
with a coyote.
I looked outside my window, and there was a coyote. Yeah.
Minion Climber riding a coyote.
I don't know if you know this. Every FCC commissioner gets
a coyote.
As a type of wild dog.
Tom Wheeler is a hyena. They're wizards, and those coyotes are their familiars.
No, I'm just saying.
It's like instead of an owl, they have a coyote.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is
Ajit Pai has a wolf.
But, you know,
pretty sure he's got
wolf.
A dingo.
Yeah. A dingo. Is a dingo a type of dog?
No.
It's an Australian dingo eat your baby?
Oh, I get it. I get what you're saying. Yeah. No, it's
the dingo with the thing with the reference to the other thing. Oliver. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I just want to once again point out that Tom Wheeler has a hyena.
He is a hyena kind of guy. Minding my own business at home, and I get a Periscope notification.
Oh, God.
And I pull it up, and Sam says, "Hey, guys, I'm going to check out this new potato restaurant." And he's on his skateboard, and he's like, sorry, bikers, yo. And I'm like, I know what potato restaurant he's talking about.
What?
It's opening a block from my apartment.
Whoa.
So I get in my shoes, and I run.
I get in my shoes?
Yeah, I get in my shoes.
Who else says I get in my shoes?
I hopped on the coyote.
When you have hype shoes like I do, you get in them.
Wait, I thought you were only allowed to refer to them as kicks.
Wait. You get in your shoes.
When you have hype shoes, you get in them, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm making this up as
no,
I go.
I'm with you. I'm just. That's all right.
I run in Sam's general direction, hoping that I can make a cameo in his Periscope. Because that's my dream.
Oh, yeah.
Every time Sam Periscopes from somewhere in the city, I'm like, can I make it to his Periscope before he stops?
Yeah.
And this was the first time where the answer was realistically yes. So I'm running toward him, and just before I get to him, he stops Periscoping.
I stop broadcasting. I was literally like, all right, but guys, bye. And I drop my phone, and up comes Chris. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go.
Yeah, so I started the Periscope, and then he described the potato medallions and the...
There's so many questions.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my first question. How is this related to Google's Wi-Fi or new cell network?
Yeah, yeah.
Second. This is a restaurant that serves only potatoes.
This is a restaurant that my brother and a few friends opened up after 2 years of planning, and this was like the week they're opening. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go.
Do they have anything other than potatoes?
They have. It is a potato-based place. You could get like mashed potatoes or tots or french fries.
You definitely didn't answer my question. Except potatoes?
Yeah, you could get like veggies ketchup on the meat, and then you could get veggies and meat, and then toppings, and then sauces.
And
so
he
described
the fries as beef, and I asked him if he meant literally beef or figuratively beef.
Well, yeah, chicken fries are a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
This is true.
Plug your brother's restaurant. What's the name of the restaurant?
Burlap Sack NYC. It's on 34th and 3rd.
God. And if you see
is there an offer code?
No, there's no offer code, but if you go, I mean, the food's good.
If you go to burlapsecnyc/bird.
No, but it's good.
All right.
Cool.
All right. Do they have good cell service there?
Yes. I was Periscoping.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
I tried. Oh. Sam just knocked me down.
Sorry. Go.
What's the sound of a man being viciously knocked off a Segway? Because that's what you just did to me. It's not that sound. Yeah, when you get knocked off a Segway, it starts playing birthday horns at you.
We're dangerously close to a Paul Blart Segway here, so we need to move away from that.
All I'm saying is here's, I think, the biggest news of the week.
Yep.
Potentially the biggest news of the month.
Yeah.
Definitely
bigger
than
Comcast?
Hey, Comcast is whatever. Comcast is like a balloon slowly deflating.
That was right.
Is that news?
Doomed. It was doomed from the start.
I mean, like, it wasn't doomed for you saw it coming. You know, it's like are you Periscoping now?
No, I'm just showing off my brand new Blue Steel Nexus 6.
When a balloon is slowly deflating, it's going,
and that's the opposite noise. The opposite noise is, okay. No, I will say Google. It's Google Fi.
Google Fi.
I wish it was Google Fi.
But Fi makes sense because Wi-Fi,
yeah, I get it.
Yeah, but there's people that pronounce it Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
That's true. It is called Wi-Fi in Europe.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you got down the Wi-Fi. Yeah, it's real.
What was that?
Some Israeli accent.
I mean, you're wearing a hat that makes you look like a party pope, and you're like doing a bad Italian accent.
You got the Wi-Fi. I need the password for the Wi-Fi.
All right, party pope chef.
Google Fi.
Give people the Wi-Fi.
Is a MVNO where you buy service directly from Google.
What, dude?
It's just
His Holiness Pope Ecstasy the Fifth. All right. Fi. John is not having it with us today.
Trying to do the story.
This is you know what's going on.
You can buy service for your phone, but only one phone directly from Google. Only works on the Nexus 6. It runs on both T-Mobile and Sprint together. Whatever is better or faster or cooler.
Yeah, dynamically switches between them.
And it also runs on Wi-Fi, of course. And that sounds like kind of boring, but they will hook you up to a bunch of public Wi-Fi hotspots, and then the phone automatically does a secure VPN through the hotspot so you feel secure using Wi-Fi instead of LTE or whatever.
Yeah.
$20 a month, base cost for unlimited talk and text. And then it's $10 a gig for data. And you can either buy a bunch of data per month, and if you don't use it, they refund it back to you. Or you can say, screw it, and you just pay $10 a gig prorated as you use it. So that's what it costs if you go over what you're buying. If you just buy zero, that's just what it costs. You're looking at like $20 a month plus taxes and fees plus $10 per gig. Theoretically, and I mean more than theoretically, it's cheaper than everybody else. And it's more technically interesting because it should be able to switch between Sprint and T-Mobile. And while both networks on their own are pretty wah-wah, together, maybe they're great. Who knows? I mean, the T-Mobile fans are going to be super mad at me for describing it as wah-wah, but let's be clear. Like, when T-Mobile's great, it's great. And when it's not, it's really not.
Right.
Right.
But maybe that's where Wi-Fi kind of backfills you there.
Or Sprint.
Sure.
Or Sprint. You got to use it on a Nexus 6. And who knows, like, you got to ask for an invite.
Did you just get one of those?
Yeah, I bought it so that I could jump on the network.
How do I buy one?
Go to store.google.com. They moved all of their devices
right,
to that
that's
address.
What it was. I couldn't figure this out yesterday. Yeah. So here's the whole Sprint T-Mobile thing for me is, like, it's got to work.
Right.
Like, it's not actually clear to me that. So it sounds like Google's moving your phone number up to the cloud, right?
Yeah.
And then it's Google Voice on
steroids in many ways.
Right. And then it's connecting through whatever network it wants.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what I don't understand was why this is so very technically different. Like, why they couldn't have done this with the Nexus phone on AT&T and Wi-Fi. I get the bridging. They needed to build a phone that could do all the bands to bridge Sprint and T-Mobile. Why can't they do this with Nexus phones on AT&T?
They could. Well, I don't see why not, except they want to have a MVNO.
Right.
In order to have an MVNO, you got to sign an agreement.
I'm really going to spend $649 on this thing.
Yes. Yeah. Someone has to own the phone number.
You see the color?
So I got the blue one. I had the white one before. The blue one, like, the back is pretty cool. Nice slate.
Are
and
you
then
ordering
the rail
one live right now?
I've bought every Nexus on the VergeCast, and I will continue to do so.
The rail's like,
did you actually just buy it? You did
I'm
it?
Thinking of, I'm thinking about it. I can't decide whether I should buy blue. This blue's kind of, I mean, it's nicer than the other color.
Yeah, that's the thing. So what Chris Welch did, he bought a white one, I think, but then he put a custom black cover on the back, so
that's
it looked cool.
Okay, the end.
Yeah. Wait, is that different? There are two blue ones, right?
No.
Really?
Maybe AT&T has a special one. Or Verizon, maybe.
So how do I change my...
So I tested Republic Wireless last year.
So let's talk about what that is.
Yeah, so Republic is kind of a proto-Google Fi in that it is a small company started by some of the guys who were
just like Google, tiny company.
Just like Google.
Yeah.
Some of the guys involved with it co-founded Grand Central, which is the product that eventually became Google Voice.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty small...
Which is central to Google Fi.
Right. So it's a pretty insular community here. But anyway, what Republic does is they sell phones that have been burned with custom firmware that work on both Sprint and Wi-Fi. So it's similar to Google Fi, except minus T-Mobile.
Right.
And what I found, what surprised me about using it, it was a little janky in some ways that made it impractical for me personally as a daily driver. But what surprised me about it was how heavily I found that I ended up relying on Wi-Fi. Because think about it. You're spending 95% of your time at home or at the office, and the remainder of your time is spent in an area that probably has a hotspot that you can get onto, especially in a place like New York City.
Right.
So I think that Google Fi, I think what people are going to find with Fi is that it is surprisingly possible to use this
right
in and day out.
Because I'm at home and then I'm at work and I just need to use it in the middle.
Right.
I think what people are also going to find is that Sprint and T-Mobile's coverage maps are like pretty similar.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they both have the same priorities generally, which is cover the cities, cover the highways.
Right.
And so if you live in a big city, like, maybe this is going to be awesome for you.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. In all likelihood, Google would have preferred to work with at least one of AT&T or Verizon on this, but mm-hmm. the big guys have far less incentive to be cooperative about a product like Google Fi than T-Mobile and Sprint.
And Ben wrote a great piece of like why MVNOs suddenly make sense. Like 5 years ago, starting MVNO was like the kiss of death.
Yeah.
Right. Like the ESPN had one.
Yeah, Disney had one.
Yeah, it was like ridiculous. and they all failed. And now what they're all about is because the phones have thankfully become more standardized, they're about segmenting customers. Mm-hmm. So you see most of the MVNOs are targeted at lower income people. There's a bunch that are like targeted like teens, you know, like
right.
There are segments of the market where,
or for expats from other countries, or like there's like one for Chinese folks who live in the U.S.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So, but that's all places where T-Mobile, it would be a huge distraction for them to like go and like build a pricing plan for this tiny little segment of the market. So they wholesale the spectrum and the access, and they say some other company like go maximize this thing for us, which is an interesting idea. But then you see like Google's like, what if we try it like this? And T-Mobile is like, yeah, what if that is what makes us bigger and makes us more money?
Yeah.
The question I have is like, this is necessarily small. By the way, my Google login is so confused that I can't buy a Nexus on the air right now. That's I don't want to do anything more.
You've got to like open up a new Chrome window that is only tied to the actual Gmail address you want to use. It's the worst.
Lame.
With the store. Like, it's impossible to switch the store. I hate it. I can't say it. So speaking of Google logins and complications, you have to use an @gmail.com address to sign up for Fi. You can't use your custom domain, whatever, that's fine. But two, it seems like from all like their how-tos and FAQs and everything else that signing up for Google Fi is one of the same as getting a Google Voice number. Because they say you can use it anywhere, and you can use it on your laptop or on a tablet or whatever, and like it works with Hangouts really well. Like, it seems pretty obvious that like a Google Fi number is basically just a Google Voice number,
right?
And that's like built into Hangouts now, so that works a little bit better. But like that integration isn't as good as it could be, I don't think. And you know, Voice has a history of being like a huge pain from time to time. I mean, I still have mine. I switched back away from it because it was like too unreliable. I would love to use it again, you know, if Hangouts were better in iOS. But yeah, it looks like that's just it. So like, you maybe there'll be another number that is like paired to your phone, but they're doing something magical on the back end with your Hangouts number so that it'll work apparently across T-Mobile and Sprint. Maybe
I check Google Voice.
Not really sure.
You mean Google Fi.
Yeah,
no, voice or Google Fi. Voice. Oh. Yeah. I mean voice.
Oh man. It's so confusing, right? Yeah. It's like do normals know what Google Voice is? I'd give it a 4.
Yeah.
It had so much promise, though.
I know.
No, it's always been a mess. But, Google Voice has always been a mess.
Is there a difference between Google Voice and then the calling inside gmail.com? Like, you know how you have the phone, you need to install that plugin?
No, they're supposed to be the same.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Well, it depends on how bought in you are to Google Voice.
Right.
And then Hangouts also, that's like a whole another thing too.
You know, I would say this. This is particularly like we've seen it with Google, and now we're seeing it with Facebook, where they try to make everything the same. Where it's like the ecosystem was so overpowering that it was like to use one Google service, you had to like use all 50.
Google Plus and Photos is the most infamous example of that, I think.
Yeah. Right, Google Plus and Photos, but Google Plus is also there. It's there with Hangouts. Like, we were talking on the show, like I think a couple weeks ago. Like I really miss having a buddy list just sort of like on my screen.
Yeah.
And like Hangouts just took that away from me.
Yeah.
Like now it's like in my Gmail and like it's,
so you can do it in your Gmail. You can do it on a Chromebook really well.
Yeah, no, you can. And I've got this like bad little plugin on my Mac.
Oh, it's
like
the worst on the Mac.
It's garbage and it doesn't know what Google account I'm logged into.
Yep.
Like every single here, Google, if you're listening to me, it is my birthday. And I want this
Birchcast birthday. It's not your birthday.
Well, aren't we all? It's Dieter's birthday.
It's my birthday. I'm turning 82.
Weird. Weird number of episodes. But Google, listen to me now on this, the day of our birth. Every product you make should have an account selector in it that works.
Yep.
That's it. Mm-hmm. You should fire everyone until you find the one person that can do that for every one of your products.
And they've been promising this since before the dawn of Google Plus.
They know that everyone has like 50 Gmail accounts.
Yeah.
I've got one just for like hookah buying. I don't know. I don't buy hookahs.
Really?
What?
There it is. I was going to make another joke, but then I had to back out of that joke.
Yeah.
The last minute. And I made a hookah joke instead. I have a vape account. NeelIVapes@gmail.com.
Diesel
vape. Diesel vape. That's what it is.
No, but it's a huge problem. So like, everything in Google is like just wrapped up in the same thing. And Google Voice, I think, suffered the most for it.
Yeah.
Well, and this gets hooked into like Hangouts video conferencing too. Like just everything. You can never know what account you're logged into.
Yeah.
You never you'll like click on a thing and be like, no, you don't have permission to go to this thing. But I do. Oh, I got to switch accounts. Oh, blah. So I have on my computer, AUTH equals 0, AUTH equals 1, AUTH equals 2, because I'm logged into multiple Google accounts in Chrome, and if I want to actually go to a thing, I've got to paste the URL in and then paste the auth user thing to manually hack the URL to switch accounts. This is the world that I have to live in because you suck at accounts, Google.
Can
you imagine what it's like to be like a...
To work at Google?
To be a mere mortal. We're all URLs like me.
And this the day of our birth, I think we should consider our own finite mortality.
Let's not.
Look, one day this is all over and we'll be pasting in auth strings to Google. You know, we wanted to have a show called Pro Tips with Dieter Bohn.
We still should.
We absolutely should.
But the problem is, Dieter, what tip would you give to the Snapchat users on Pro Tips by Dieter Bohn? And he started just yelling URLs at the screen.
Real problem. Actually, my idea was, I can't believe you're not using this app. With Dieter Bohn.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this tool. I can't believe you're not using this tool. Yeah. What was the tool that I got really mad about? Oh, Simple Image. Simple Image is a replacement
now.
For Quick Look on the Mac.
Ooh, Dieter's on a Simple Image train again.
God damn it. Look. I find stuff that makes computers better, and I get excited about
it. Wait, so you think it's saying what too?
Yeah, what? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. The whole time.
I'm pretty sure it's saying chew.
John's going to leave. I don't know where he is right now, but you can see in the control room there's just steam rising from.
When I blow the kazoo, I do it away from the mic.
I've been off mic blowing since you were.
What?
All right. Chris.
Is there anything else to say about Fi? We got to finish it up.
No.
Wait.
It's
actually,
only one
yes.
phone. This
I
is
have,
a problem. This
I
is a problem. It's only one
thing very important.
Actually, I have two things to say.
But you go first.
I have a second thing to say.
Okay.
My second thing to say is this, plus they just announced, they officially announced the Android Wear improvements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's only on the Urbane, which isn't coming to the US till later this year in the Google store. They won't even say how much it costs.
No, I thought it was this month.
Later this month. Might as well, next 30 days. Announce a price, guys. Announce a date. Come on.
The beautiful watch.
Yeah, why don't they do that?
Because
is there a reason why they withhold that info?
Lots of Urbane is great, right?
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Have you seen one in person?
Yes. You showed it to me.
No.
I think you did.
I did not. I showed you G-Watch R and you're like, oh, look, it's...
All right.
The thing I'm going to say is Google I.O. is coming up at the end of May. And what are they going to talk about?
Let's hit pause.
Okay.
So we can read this next commercial message.
All right.
And then I think we should do some watch talk and we should bring this to an end.
Okay.
Today's episode of The Vergecast was also brought to you by Tripcase. Tripcase has helped brilliant people take over 30 million trips last year by collecting their flight, hotel, and other trip items into a single app on your phone or tablet. You also get free flight notifications if you're delayed or your gate changes, and there's support for Android Wear and Pebble, so you'll always be up to date. To get started, just go to tripcase.com/vergecast to sign up. Dieter?
I will.
Dieter's just hatching.
I'm going on a vacation, so I'm going to use
this. If you are still not convinced... Here is why Tripcase is the place where trips live. There's Uber integration. They fill in your pickup and drop-off locations based on your trip. They show you Uber rates right within the app, which is actually pretty cool. Free flight alerts. If things change, Tripcase will automatically alert you to any changes, like a flight delay, gate switch, emails, notifications on your phone, tablet, or smartwatch. You can share your trip. You can send your itinerary to coworkers, loved ones. I like to send my itinerary to Chris because he is both a coworker and a loved one. I send it to him twice. One for each category. One says, I will return, and the other one just has a question mark. You can stop talking about whether your flight is delayed and start telling them about how much fun you're having because they're not with you. Remember this place. You can easily say the restaurant you found on your trip so you can remember it the next time you're in town. There's also destination weather. You can figure out the weather of where you're going. And seat maps, which actually are my favorite feature because I am a seat snob on planes now.
Ditto.
Because I take the same flights over and over again.
Yeah.
19E on Delta going to San Francisco on the way back.
Isn't E a middle seat?
No. It's
depends on the plane.
It depends on the plane. But it's the one, there's like two seats.
Yeah.
And then there's the bulkhead door in
That's
front of
the
you.
Move.
So then there's, it's the seat with no seat in front of it, but the bulkhead door
That's
sticks out.
That's the move,
out.
Yep.
I will say that sometimes the door is not sealed well, so it's like a freezing cold foot situation.
But if you have to get out, boom, you're right
you're
there.
You're ready to go. I mean, last time I literally had to stuff a pillow in the... I had to like build an insulation system.
You had a fort
to build
going. A fort.
Like a real pillow fort plain, by plain my fort. Feet. Anyway, Tripcase. Go to tripcase.com/firstcast. Check it out today. You can just do all kinds of cool stuff on trips. We're very excited to have them as a sponsor. Tripcase. And we're back. All right, we should do some watch talking.
Watch talk.
I think there's a lot of watch stuff to say.
Yeah.
So can I? We should talk about the iOS or the Android Wear stuff and what they're going to do with iOS. Well, no, it's just like every time Apple does anything with watch, Google like throws out some more Wear news.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the state Google's in. And we're at the point with the Apple Watch. I should have written this today. I didn't have time. We are at the point in the gadget cycle with the Apple Watch, which is both my favorite part. But as a guy who's had it for a couple weeks now, is like, I'm like pre-sad for people, because we're at like the magical realism stage.
Oh, so right. Everybody has hopes and dreams and aspirations for what it's going to do.
They're just layering on what this thing is. And so, like, you know, I was in fact flying home the other day, and I noticed, and this is a thing that like, it doesn't happen. Like, I've had Android Wear watches, and I have a Pebble, and like. They don't try to do as much. They have a lot of these features, but they don't try to do as much, right? So with Apple, like, you know, like it just apps show up on the thing. It's like, oh, now I've got Passbook and I can like throw my boarding pass on my watch. This will be cool.
Right.
Right. And I can beep it this way. And I'm running and I realize I drag my bag with my left hand, which is where I wear my watch. So, okay, that's a pro. So I switch the bag hand and then I'm like, I have to use the watch to open my boarding pass. So like it's just easier to just pull out my phone and like on Passbook it like shows up on the iPhone like right
yeah.
there and you just
do on the lock screen right,
right.
Lock screen. Yeah
and there's like a million ways to solve this problem, but I tweeted because one of the things and you guys might think this is the dumbest thing in the world, but for me it has been like the idea of having a computer on your wrist is really cool until it's just knocked home up for me every time that you have to use both of your hands to use the Apple
yeah
watch.
Right
it is like in a way that. Didn't happen with my Pebble necessarily in a way that
it's because it wasn't as ambitious, right?
Well, the Pebble's just like a bunch of notifications,
right?
And then they go
I mean
away.
They've got the music controller and all the other stuff, but,
but this is something that Android Wear is actually trying to solve with their new firmware update.
Yeah, right, and they're trying to do all this gestures yeah. but like yeah, also yeah. Android Wear in iterations that I have been using it doesn't do a whole lot,
right?
Right, Android Wear is like basically like a bunch of Google Now cards that like show up whenever.
Yeah.
Right. There's none of this app stuff that's happening.
I mean, it's the there. Apple. They've got apps. They just up to now, up to this latest update that's not out yet. They've been hard to get to, and you had to install this app. It's kind of hacky to get to them really quickly, and like
right.
nobody
it's not
nobody
a focus of the product. Right. With the right. Apple Watch, like the stories we're covering in the Apple Watch right now are all app launches. Like,
right.
Just every day, it's like here's 50 more apps. Here's Trello. Here's Slack. Here's Zillow is my favorite one. So I tweet like, here's another thing with the Apple Watch. Like, you need two hands to open a boarding pass and like click it. And like, I got this flood of responses. They're like, one day you'll just tell Siri to do it, or one day there'll be iBeacons in every airport in America. It's like, or you could just use one hand on your phone,
yeah.
right? Like, you're layering all of this expectation about where it's going to go onto the product that exists right now. So that's one. And then yesterday I tweeted like, why would you want Zillow on your watch? So if you don't know, Zillow is a real estate. Pricing.
Yeah, it's a house search app.
Yeah.
So you can buy a house.
And a lot of people are like, oh, you just glance at your wrist while you're driving and look at the price of the house around you. Which one
bad
no,
idea.
Don't do that. Don't be that person. Two, it doesn't know. It doesn't know where you are. It doesn't know what house you're looking at.
Yeah.
Like just at a basic level, it just doesn't know what you're looking at. So you have to and then it's like the watch for real is slow. So like loading Zillow. I'm presuming that you're not the sort of person who loads Zillow on your phone like every 10 minutes. So Zillow falls out of your phone memory because it's not running in the background. So to open on the watch means you have to launch Zillow on your phone.
Yeah.
And then, so that takes a minute. And then it has to send data to the watch. And then it has to pull your location, which I'm telling you right now, the number one thing that is going to kill people with the Apple Watch is how long it takes to figure out where you are.
Right.
Because everything you want it to do is kind of location dependent.
Yeah.
And it takes forever to figure out where you are. And it's just like, it's not going to do that for you yet. 5 years from now, it will almost certainly do that for you.
Two? One, two, two.
I'm saying, like, to make the bet of almost certainly.
Right.
Five. 5 years from now, this thing will be golden.
So, I mean, here's how I see this dynamic. You know, iPhone comes out, and we're like, oh, wow, this thing is really nice, but we didn't know that it was going to change society and humanity forever, right?
Right.
And so now this thing is coming out. We're like, oh, it's pretty nice, but nobody, everybody's like, but it, what if it does the same thing? And nobody can say for sure that it won't.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, well, I felt this doesn't feel this this revolution
I
as revolutionary
as
the
review
phone
very
to me.
Keenly. And this is take it for what it's worth. We didn't give it the highest score in the world. We gave it a 7, and we agonized over that 7
yeah.
day and night. But there is the pressure of the last two times people have bet against Apple, they've been totally wrong. Like, massively, completely wrong.
Yeah.
And that's the iPhone and particularly the iPad. And I think people were so wrong about the iPad. Like, so deep. Like, you knew with the iPhone that all the people were like, ah, this is garbage. We're wrong. Like, first time you use an iPhone, you're like, okay, like, there's a ton of work to do here. But this fundamental interface idea is the right interface idea.
But people weren't, oh, this is garbage with the iPad. They were, I don't know what to do with this with the iPad. And I'm still, I don't know what to do with this.
I think that's smart. But I think there was a lot of, this is folly. Nobody wants this crap. It's right. just a big iPhone.
Yeah.
And like, that was all wrong. Right? It's not folly. It's like,
the iPad didn't become the iPhone. Like, to be clear, it's a smaller business. Right. It's a different kind of business.
Mm-hmm. But tablets in general, like, Apple created the market. Like, it's not even just the iPad. People were like, tablets are garbage, and Apple's like wandering into a dead market. And now it's like, everyone makes a tablet, and we're, as a collective, like, industry and culture, figuring out where they go.
Yeah.
And that's like, cool. And like, everyone was wrong. Like, yep. You can go back and like, all the big iPad people or all the big iPhone people, you can give them a Samsung Galaxy Tab and be like, you were super wrong.
Right.
Right. Like, you can give them a Surface and be like, you were super wrong. And so there is that pressure against, like, Apple has $1 trillion in the bank. They're just going to, and they own a chip company, and they like, they can buy the Samsung, literally their biggest competitor, Samsung, has to make its own display company for Apple. Right. Yeah. Like, they have all of the leverage to make this real if they want to. And I'm sure that they will. But this, so there is that sense of like, inevitability with the product, right? It's just, it's, they're going to iterate and it's going to go fast. And I expect this first watch to basically be like the first iPad. The first right. iPad was like end of life immediately. Like,
right.
You can't, they don't even support it anymore. This iPad 2 is still sticking around.
Yeah.
Right. And they put out the product they really wanted to make sort of like a year later. I think that's this watch. And it's like, I just, this moment in particular is the expectations people who love Apple have for what this thing will do are so out of whack with what it can actually do.
I want to say something here.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, I want to bring this back to Earth because we as humans are so not normal when it comes to talking about these things and the way they interact and the way we interact with them. I think the Apple Watch is going to just be a utility that is like an iOS companion for most humans, like most moms and most, like, you know, college kids are not thinking about this the way we are. I think they're going to buy it and they're going to expect to get text messages and tweets on their watch, and that's it. Like, talking about how, like,
no, they're expecting to use the health stuff. Like,
okay, and that works, right? Presumably, yeah. The health stuff works. I look at this as a Gen 1 Apple product that's meant to be a companion utility for, like, the mothership, which is your phone.
No, I think that's there was that Johnny Ive interview yesterday where he's like, this isn't compete with regular watches. Like, you right. shouldn't even think about it that way.
Right. Right.
But what's happening, and this is where the disconnect is coming. What's happening is, and this is like, you know, it's like the fashion piece of this. It's like, right now, Apple is like giving this thing to like Beyonce and Karl Lagerfeld. And like, what's fascinating about that to me is none of them have the screen on. No one has ever photographed using the Apple Watch.
Right.
Karl
right.
Lagerfeld is still on a pairing screen.
J.J. Abrams.
Karl Lagerfeld does not know how to use that watch, I promise.
There's a great interview. It's from like 5 years ago, so it wasn't worth reposting, but Julia Rubin at Rack sent it to me after I tweeted about the Lagerfeld thing. She's like, this is a video where Karl Lagerfeld thinks he calls an iPad Facebook and says he compares it to a sculpture. Facebook is like a Bruce Gunn. It's like some sculptor. He's like, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to me. And I'm like, it's, you think it's an iPad? It's like, you're like so rich. He's wearing this like vampire collar. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And then he's like, and then he keeps going. He's like, you know, if I don't, I wouldn't buy any of this stuff, but people give them to me covered in white gold. It's like, it's an amazing video. And he's like, of course I know how to use it. I mean, my assistants, I just tell them to use it. And it's like, in your mind, you think knowing how to use an iPad is telling one of your assistants.
He has a chauffeur to use technology for him.
That's incredible. But like, that's the thing. Like, fashion is like fleeting. Like, it will come and go.
Yeah.
And so like right now it's fashionable, but unless there's utility against it where you have to have it with you all the time, it will just go away. It will stop being fashionable, like by its the nature of fashion, and all of our fashion editors who like work at Racked, who, like we talk to them, they're like, yeah, it'll be cool, it'll be a status symbol for a minute, and then it will like, I mean, that's why we put them in the review video, because it's silly, like I'm not going to sit around talking about it. So we put fashion editors in it, and all of them are like, yeah, this will be, if it becomes a thing, fashion people will adopt it, and if it doesn't, it'll just go away, and I think Apple has to prove that utility piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's $350, $400 for the sport model to put on your wrist and get text messages.
Remember how much the first iPod was when it first came out?
Yeah, but the first iPod...
First like, iPod offered a thing, like, if you wanted to live in that first iPod world, you were using, like, the creative Rio.
Zen,
the big...
If you wanted to live in the first iPod world, you had a Mac with FireWire.
Yeah.
Right, that literally those are the requirements to use that first.
Yeah, now it's pretty easy to live. It's pretty easy to live in Apple's world now, right? Because a lot of people have iPhones.
No, but I'm saying like comparing it the launch strategy here to the first iPod. Like the first iPod market was like too super tiny. The potential market here is like anybody with an iPhone 5 or above.
Right,
and they're like putting
5S.
It's like Beyonce's wearing the thing, right? Like they're taking over fashion stores in Paris and not Milan, London. Tokyo, that's where you have people. Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just, this is that moment. Like, I'm not knocking this moment. It's just the moment where people believe that it can do anything.
Yeah, we're reaching peak hype right now. Magic. This is it. Like, tomorrow, the world is going to be a different
place. I've been trying to think about, like, what the other products were, because I love this moment. It's occurred. So the Microsoft Courier was one, where, like, it was just hopes and dreams.
Yeah,
it was literally a concept video that was hopes and dreams.
I remember, I was in class when that happened.
The Motorola Atrix HD. Do you remember this thing?
Yeah. Miriam freaked out over that.
So the Atrix HD, it was announced at CES.
Was it the HD or just the Atrix?
The regular Atrix.
4G.
Atrix 4G was like the first. It had the laptop dock.
Yeah.
It ran a second operating system called WebTop.
Yeah.
With Firefox on it.
With Firefox.
Yeah.
Didn't even have Chrome.
Had Firefox. So it was like a Linux computer that ran Android on the side. You could put it in a laptop thing. You could like plug it into
the TV.
It
had a fingerprint sensor.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It did.
This product, I remember that one as being like, Josh and I were both.
Yeah.
We were just like, I'm going to throw out my laptop. I'm just going to have this phone. I'm going to plug it into different things. It was like a beautiful, and then you got it and you're like, oh.
This is garbage.
Yeah. The Palm Folio.
Yeah, it didn't quite reach the levels.
The Palm Pre.
The Pre.
Yeah, before it launched.
Before it launched, that was nuts. I mean, the.
All right.
What? No, I'm just saying, like, it's a unique moment.
Yeah, about the Pre is you about the Apple Watch in a week. We'll just.
Oh, snap.
I'm just saying it's a unique moment. Like, I'm not suggesting that the bubble needs to burst. I'm only saying, like, enjoy this one.
Yeah.
Because they don't come along very often.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, this is the moment when literally people think it can do anything. When they think Siri is, like, tapping on the wrist and, like, whispering in your ear that, like, you're near a house you should buy. Like, it's like it's crazy.
Like, and Glass. It's like when Glass had that video with the dude swinging his kid around, and it was like,
excited about Glass.
There was a moment. It was when Bilton first scooped it, because you were like, holy crap, I'm going to wear this magical eyewear.
And it's
gonna
going to
change the world.
Yeah, okay.
But even then, Google was like, it's Glass Explorer. Like, it was. There was that moment of like, that first Glass Explorer video, almost killed Dieter's laptop with a glass of water.
Yeah, I'll just buy the new MacBook.
Oh, so now it's okay to kill my laptop instead?
But I don't wave this hand around as much. I don't know why I think that's so funny.
Happy birthday, Verge Cast.
No, I'm just saying, that first Glass video, the one where like the guy was on the like
It did really well on our website. There was hype.
He met a friend.
Oh, but they never showed the hardware. Yes. They just showed like the interface.
Yeah.
That was
the one I'm talking about.
And, like, people like layered their hopes and dreams on it. And I just, all I'm saying is, if you love technology, like, this is a moment to appreciate. But, like, man, I'm very curious to see what the next 2 weeks of, like, reviews and, like, YouTube videos from, like, real users. Like, I'm waiting to hear
from the normals. I really am, because, again, we think of these products so differently than normals do.
Well, you also need to there's one very important aspect of psychology, I think, that is going to trap people to some degree, which is that when you're spending $350 to $1,000 on this watch, you force yourself to think that you like it, whether you actually
yeah,
do or not.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. That is very true.
Because accepting into your heart the fact that you made a $1,000 mistake or a $500 mistake is a very, very tough pill to swallow. So
or
I think,
you just give the thing back.
Can you return it?
You can return the regular ones, of course.
Yeah, not
but
the gold.
The gold one. No, you can return the gold one, too, inside of 14 days. They take a microscope to it to make sure you haven't removed any gold. Yeah, that's 100% true.
Yep.
Yeah.
They take a microscope to it to make sure you
have so there are
gold.
People at Apple that they had a train,
oh, I'm
presumably,
sure, yeah.
like, okay, you're going to be the gold watch inspector.
You're the microscope guy.
Well, this entire watch selling process has involved a lot of training at Apple.
Right.
Yeah. But I do want to mention one thing in particular with the gold model. I tweeted this the other day, and I believe it's absolutely true. The model that Karl Lagerfeld and Beyonce and a few other folks have, I think, exists. I think it's buyable. I don't think Apple wants to talk about it because it's $75,000. Yeah.
Oh, so it's got gold links, but otherwise it's the same edition gold watch casing.
Exactly.
Right.
But I think that if you're a multimillionaire and you talk to Apple and say, hey, I want to buy that, they'll be like, sure.
I think
and then
they're
it's gold to order.
I think they're giving this first set away.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, of course. I mean, they're.
So, like, Pharrell and Drake and Beyonce and Katy Perry.
None of those guys. I mean, Apple probably paid them. But, like,
you know, Drake's an Apple fan today, but tomorrow he's going to be an Android.
Yeah, no way.
That's a Drake joke. Never mind.
That was way above my head.
Really?
Jake, never mind. I'm not telling more Jake jokes. Okay, that's the end of our show. Sam, engage.
Snapchat. We've been...
Just
go right into
We've killed Sam's
Snapchat.
Yeah, you should follow us on Snapchat because we post there every day and there's good stuff. Also, the New York Times had a really good Snap story, and I'm really proud of Farhad and Akbilton for doing that. You should follow us on Snapchat. We are The Real Verge on Snapchat. And you should subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are youtube.com/TheVerge. And while you're at it, if you don't like us already on Facebook, you probably should, because we post all of our news there and videos, and we do lots of giveaways on Facebook. So if you like free stuff, go to facebook.com/Verge, click the like button, and then click every single article that comes into your newsfeed. Back to you, Neeli.
All right. So... that was very like, all right, Sam, thank you very much for that engagement session. All right, now that's our show. Please go on iTunes, give us 5 stars.
That, yes.
That's a thing we still want you to do. That's great. I would like you, this go give us 5 stars, and in the review, just tell us what your magical realism dream of the Apple Watch is, because I love it.
Or Android Wear.
Or Android, whatever, wherever your heart takes you, or the Pebble.
Yeah,
just tell me your watch fantasy.
Yeah, like what? How? Why do you want?
Tell me your PG-13.
Give us the
PG-13 watch
and
fantasy.
Some garbage in the box. But beep. if you want to do some stuff, that'd be great. Also, check out our other show, What's Tech with Chris Plant. It's a great show, doing awesome. This week's show is great. It's about the singularity. That's all at iTunes.com/TheVerge. Sam is Sam Sheffer
on
Twitter. Dieter is Backlon. I'm Reckless. Chris is Z Power. Not a great Twitter lineup for us, but those are the ones. Follow us, please. Thanks to HiFive, HiFive.com/Verge. Request a free trial. Thanks to Tripcase, Tripcase.com/VergeCast. Check it out today. And a special thank you to Lynda, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. Free 10-day trial, Lynda.com/VergeCast. That's LYNDA.com/VergeCast. That is it. VergeCast 150 in the can. Let's drink. Let's party. Rock and roll.
Bye.
Paul.